I greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be with you all this morning and to hear what God has been speaking to us already this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear God, we come before you, our Creator and our God. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful gift of salvation to us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all of our sins. Thank you for your word that you granted to us this morning. I pray that you come and be with me and fill me with your Holy Spirit as I share the message that you laid on my heart this morning. Father, just come and be in our midst, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I've heard that there's some places that a preacher won't get up to share unless they felt that the message that they preach is a reality in their life to the fullest extent. And if that's the case for me this morning, I need to go sit down. But I don't believe that that's how we feel this morning as a congregation. So I want to be clear that I'm speaking very much to myself as I share this morning. I'll give the title here in just a minute, but before I do, I want to give a little introduction. Recently, I was reading through the book of Leviticus. One thing that stood out to me was the many different types of sacrifices that are mentioned in this book. Some of them include burnt offerings, meat offerings, peace offerings, drink offerings, offerings of the first fruits, sin offerings, incense offerings, voluntary offerings, heave offerings, sacrifice of thanksgiving, trespass offerings, and wave offerings. Many, many different kinds of offerings and sacrifice are mentioned in the book of Leviticus. When direction was given concerning the administration of these offerings, the writer of Leviticus ended the laws with words similar to, "And the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord." A sweet smell or aroma. Most of us know that burning flesh stinks, but yet, according to the Bible, these sacrifices smell sweet to God. With these thoughts in mind, I would like to take a look at the sacrifices of a Christian. That's the title of my message, is Sacrifices of a Christian. I want to look at what a sacrifice and offering is. I want to look at the Christian's call to sacrifice, some sacrifices of Christ, things we are called to offer up to God, and ways to sacrifice. So I was pondering what is a sacrifice? What is an offering? What does that mean? What does that look like? What am I talking about this morning? What is God speaking to my heart this morning? A sacrifice means to offer to God in homage or worship, to destroy, to surrender or suffer to be lost for the sake of attaining something, to destroy, to kill. Offering means that which is presented in divine service to God. That which is presented in divine service to God. The Christian's call to sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is the first passage I'd like to look at. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm talking about the Christian's call to sacrifice. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Recalled that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, and I plan to dig into this verse later on in my message. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We see that we are called to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Mark chapter 10, verse 21 says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. In Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We are called to daily deny ourselves and to take up this cross to follow Jesus. I want to take a deeper look at that here in a little bit. What does that mean in a practical way? But first of all, I want to take a look at some of the sacrifices of Christ. We see that when Christ was here that he daily did this. He lived for the good of others and not for himself. First of all, and maybe this should have been second of all, but first of all, he gave his own life. He sacrificed his own life. We see this in several different scriptures. I've chosen to read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He says Christ was once offered. He gave himself, his own life. Ephesians 5, 2. This is a very interesting verse to me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. There we have that. There we have those words again. Christ gave his life an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And as I think about that, it just resounds back into my mind. It just makes me think again. Am I smelling good to God? Am I smelling good to God? And I know I fall short a lot in these things I'm sharing this morning. Hebrews 10, verse 12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. We see that Jesus sacrificed his own life. But there were some other things that Jesus sacrificed that I want to look at briefly. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I want to look at verses 5 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. That's one thing he sacrificed, his reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He sacrificed his position. And he was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And not only that, even the death of the cross, which was one of the lowest forms of death he could have suffered. First Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. First Peter chapter 2, 21 through 24. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He could have spoke back, but he didn't. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. I think that's part of these things that we see in Jesus here are ways that God wants us to sacrifice. I'll talk more about that later. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Another thing that Christ sacrificed was his own will. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So what are some things that we are called to offer up unto God? So mostly I want to read through this list and these Bible verses, and then I will expound on some of them more in my point on ways to sacrifice later on here. Things we are called to offer up to God. First thing is praise. We see this in Hebrews 13:15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And Psalms 98:4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So we see that God wants us to offer up the sacrifice of praise. And I would like you to think about that just a moment here. Why is praise a sacrifice? How is praise a sacrifice? Well, because things come, circumstances come in life many times, that the last thing in our hearts is the desire to praise God. I think that this is one thing that God wants us to look closely at, is when those things come into our hearts, into our lives, God wants us to put it on the altar, to lay down our life, our will, our thoughts, our emotions, and to give him praise in these circumstances. Another thing that we are called to offer up to God is material goods. We see this, in several different scriptures. The one that I would like to, first of all, is Philippians 4:18. Philippians 4:18 says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. We have that thought again of a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God, something that's acceptable to God, is when we minister out of our material goods to the needs of other people. Acts 20:35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And Hebrews 13:16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. To communicate here is to identify with and to support the needs, is what I get from that. With such sacrifices God is well pleased. The next thing I want to look at, next thing we are called up to offer up to God, is our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We see that we don't own our body. Our body is to be God's body. Philippians 2:17 says this. Philippians 2:17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And I ponder that a little bit. What does that mean? And it could mean more than this, but it seems like he was sacrificing his life and giving his service for the sake of encouraging the saints in their faith. And in that way, he was sacrificing his body and his time for the sake of others. Romans 15:1-2. Romans 15:1-2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves, lest every one of us please his neighbor. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We do bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The next point is we are called to offer up to God is all our love. All of our love. Mark 12:33. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. We see greater than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices in the Old Testament is to when we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. I believe that these are sacrifices that God wants us to make. Another one we find in the Bible is prayer and lifting up holy hands. Psalms 141:2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up my hands as an evening sacrifice. And next, the last one I want to look at is a broken and contrite heart. Psalms 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God calls them the sacrifices of God, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. So I want to get practical and talk about ways to sacrifice this morning. Excuse me. We saw that we are commanded to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily and to follow Christ. What does it mean to take up your cross daily and follow him? In Jesus' day, a cross was a device that was used to put to death a criminal. It was an instrument of torture and execution. Death on the cross was shameful, excruciating, painful, and often prolonged. Often the criminal was made to carry the cross on which he was going to die. Likewise, we as Christians are commanded to take up our cross on a daily basis and to die to our plans, to die to our wants, to die to our wishes, to die to our desires and to die to our comforts. This can be quite painful at times. It's not easy to take up a cross on a daily basis and surrender our life and lay it down. I want to get practical. Here is a list of some things we need to deny ourselves of. And I have some phrases that I'm going to be using here. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. We get home, we sit in, and there's something that needs to be done, and we think to ourselves, I don't feel like it. God wants us to die to that, to deny ourselves and get up and say, I would do it cheerfully anyway. Or maybe it's, but I wanted to do this. But I wanted to. Maybe somebody else wants you to do something different than your plans were for that evening or that day. But I wanted to do it, those thoughts go through our mind. But I wanted to do this or that. We need to deny ourselves and take up a cross and say, think, I will gladly do what you wanted to do instead of what I wanted to do. Another one, but I am so tired or worn out. So tired and worn out. You deny ourselves. Take up a cross and think, I will be your servant and help you willingly. How about, but that's not how I planned. Thinking about when things go wrong. Maybe you were expecting somebody else to do something in a certain time frame. And it didn't happen. But that's not how I had planned. And it rises up within us. It rises up with me too often. We need to deny ourselves of these thoughts, and these attitudes, these actions, and rather say, I surrender the situation to God and His timing. We are to live for the good of others, do all to the honor and glory of God, give Him thanks in every situation, and to pray without ceasing. Only as we follow this command are we able to be a sweet-smelling savor to God. Is that our heart's desire, to be a sweet-smelling savor to God? I want to look at some passages of Scripture that will show what we are to deny and what we are to do instead. If you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Some of these scriptures I had a hard time deciding where to break in at. As I read through these scriptures, I want us to think in our mind, just like I was saying, the phrases of the bad attitudes that we often think, but what we should think instead. In these lists are very similar things of things that are bad that we shouldn't do and things that are good that God wants us to do. I'm going to read Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So we do abhor evil, we do cleave to good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. We have to be kind, affectionate, and have brotherly love and honor. We do prefer one another. Not slothful in business. Rather, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Those thoughts and feelings come up into your heart. I'm going to get him back. We're to deny ourselves of those thoughts and give it to God. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There's many, many things in this scripture that God calls us to do instead of to sin and instead of to serve ourselves and the feelings and the emotions that rise in our own hearts. God calls us to live a different life above that. The next passage of scripture I'd like to look at, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 18. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 18. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. There's that word. Did you catch that word? Mortify. Put to death. That's what it means. Put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The point that I want to apply to our hearts in the latter part of this passage is, yes, it is painful to die to ourselves, to suffer, to be a living sacrifice. Is not pleasurable to our flesh, to us. But if we suffer with Christ, if we suffer for the sake of Christ, if we allow ourselves to be put to death for Christ's sake, we will also be glorified together with him. And that's just a blessed thought to me. We read Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2. I'm going to read it again and make some more application. I missed the passage. I'm sorry. Turn with me yet to 1 Peter chapter 2. Another passage of scripture that talks about denying ourselves and living for God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Going to start in verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 17. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. It says we are to abstain from the fleshly lust which war against the soul. We are to put those lusts to death. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what does a living sacrifice look like in the practical sense? According to the verse we just read there in Romans 12, 1 through 2, we become a living sacrifice for God by not being conformed to this word. 1 John 2, 15 through 16 defines the word as being the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All that the word has to offer can be reduced to these three things. The lust of the flesh includes everything that appeals to our physical appetites, needs, and desires that we tend to gratify in an excessive or selfish way. The lust of the eyes involves coveting whatever we see that we don't have and envying those things, those who have what we want, whether it be material things or another person. The pride of life is defined by the desire for recognition, applause, or any ambition for that which puffs us up and puts us on the throne of our own lives. So what are some ways to keep us from becoming conformed to this word? We need to renew our minds by hearing, reading, studying, and memorizing and meditating on the Word of God. We need to obey the commandments of Christ. In 1 Samuel 15, we see that God values obedience above sacrifice. We need to deny ourselves and take up the cross daily and follow Him. We need to pray, fast, and sing. We need to continually remember that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. May God richly bless each of you as you strive to fulfill the sacrifices of a Christian.